This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. I am really excited today. We have Brianna, call her Bree, Lovell Myers, and she is the executive director of the United Spay Alliance, and they do a lot. Want to talk about spay and neuter, why it's important, how, why, when, how can you get involved? There's a lot to unpack here. So we will be back afterward from our sponsor. Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have nine lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control the free-roaming cat populations, too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, back with my gorgeous BFF, who I was
riding alone for the last two podcasts. I missed you so much.
It's been a while. It's been a minute, right? It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Welcome back, baby. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for all your well wishes on the loss of my parents. I really appreciate it.
Still hard.
It's just still been a few months.
It's a journey. We got time. But let's bring Bree in here and talk about some positive actions.
Yeah, one of my favorite topics, being neuter.
So first of all, thank you for joining us, Bree.
No, thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate you. Tell us basically about the United Spay Alliance. What is it that you do? What's the gist of this?
Yeah. So the organization exists really to promote spay and neuter. The mission is to promote affordable, accessible, and timely spay neuter services. And so I think if anyone has tried to make an appointment anytime recently to get their pet spayed or neutered, you've probably encountered, long wait times. The cost of those services has gone up. And it's just become a more and more challenging landscape, especially. And so United Spay Alliance has been around, honestly, since like 2015, the organization has been around. And it started with the idea of why don't we make it easy for folks to find services? And so it started with a directory of services state by state where people could find low-cost providers. And since then, it has evolved and grown and come a long way. We saw kind of a renewed need for that, especially during the COVID pandemic. There were so many things changed, but we know that the access to vet care has changed as a result of, the pandemic. So many clinics closed forever. Many have lost, the staff that they need to run those clinics. And so maybe the hours or the number of appointments they have available have changed. And so we saw there was a real need for us to kind of double down on our efforts to make that information available. And so one of our core programs or the core things that we do is we have our spay neuter directory. And that's a great place for folks to kind of start. You can go and you can click on your state and you'll pull up a landing page just for your state of everything that we have found in your neck of the woods, as it were. To help you find low-cost services. And then, we've branched out into TNR programs, into pet food programs, and so many other resources that might be helpful to someone who's also looking for low-cost spay neuter.
Didn't even dawn on me that some of the clinics closed during the pandemic and didn't reopen.
And at the very least, were held up.
Yeah, it's been an unfortunate tale, and I've heard it in all parts of the country. I know that You know, I've heard of wait times up to 3 to 6 months. I have heard where the, you know, high volume clinic closed because they couldn't find a veterinarian. I've heard of clinics closing because they can't find techs. It's just, it's been difficult. Some places have been really, really impacted. We're starting to see more places, I think, are finding a normal or a new normal. But I know that there are definitely still many communities that are still struggling.
I know we had a cat appear in our backyard. What do? Bring her in. Whose bedroom is she going in until we can get her spayed? And I reached out to my vet that I always use. And yeah, we had a horrible wait. They had, because of COVID, to change all of their practices. So they were, you know, call, wait, somebody comes out, gets the, all of those extra steps took up so much time that they could see less clients in a day, and it backed everything up. And I had a female cat go into heat upstairs, screaming her head off, ticked off all my males. And although they are neutered, several of them started spraying. I mean, we were in chaos over here over this little girl's estrogen.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
And you had mentioned earlier that you are doing a training coming up in February to work with vets to teach this high volume. So we recently rescued, a couple months ago, 3 little boy kittens, neonate, shouldn't have been separated. One of those things I didn't want to do, but I did it to save their lives. And I'm like, yeah, unlike when I took in Soot, I'm like, I can't afford for 3 neuters. So I looked around and found myself a low cost. It was a wait. I had to wait a lot longer than I wanted to. And we're playing with, you know, the sooner the better, the less incidents of spraying, etc. But I'll tell you, when we went to pick the cat up, the kittens up, a truck came, a truck with stacked carriers. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
That was a TNR initiative, right?
I don't know how many cats they did that day. But basically, the rescue has X number that has been brought in that need to be done. And then they open it up to the public and say, we can fit in this many. And so we actually got the last 3 spots on that. But that was impressive.
Yeah, these clinics are really, really impressive. And so one of our programs is we do encourage high quality, high volume spay neuter. And it's been part of the vernacular shift or just the way we talk, because I think there's a perception out there that when you say low cost spay neuter, that some people assume that that must mean low quality, that there's some corners being cut, that there's some reason that these appointments are so.
That used to be true.
Right. Right. And I think once upon a time, maybe, you know, however, today, when we think about these clinics, what we're actually talking about is very high quality, very efficient procedures. And it's the efficiency of every step of that process. And it's really the efficiency of the veterinarians and their surgical techniques that are making them so much. I mean, when we increase efficiency, we're just going to naturally increase our ability to do, you know, more in a day, so to speak. And so you're able to adjust those numbers accordingly. And so what we're getting are techniques that have been refined over and over and over again over decades now of surgeons who have been doing these, of, you know, vet clinics and teams that have been doing this work. So we're seeing very efficient, very safe procedures for the cats, for the dogs who are going through. I mean, if you just think about it, like the surgeons who start out with that cat spay and their incision is, you know, maybe 4 inches long. And then once they have like high quality, high volume spay neuter techniques under their belt, you know, they're walking away with the incision site that's, you know, 1 inch long. You know, think about yourself, you know, if you want an incision that is,
yes, please,
this big, or, you know, much smaller. So
Linda knows she's been spayed.
Oh, hide it, make it as small as possible. Thank you. Yes. And they didn't just do the neuter. Like, they checked their ears. They checked for fleas. I don't know. I mean, like, it was like a 12-hour span. Like, drop
how
off
much
at
did
a.m.,
you have to
up
pay?
At 6 p.m. $100 a piece for each boy.
That's so, not too bad. It's a little more than it costs here, but you're in a different
it
state.
It's a lot better than the vet cost.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just curious, what was your vet, like the private practice vet quoting you for that? Did you ask?
Yeah, it was going to be almost $200 per kitten. So
that's,
I was
so
pretty much
crazy.
Cutting it in half.
My vet doesn't charge that.
Yeah, for a neuter.
Crazy.
We have heard just pricing with private practice vets. And now when you're going to private practice or a general practice, generally they're not doing spays and neuters very often, right? And so it is more of a specialty procedure for them. And so they're not going to have the same efficiency and the same practice with doing these surgeries. So again, speaking to why when you go to someone who focuses just on spays and neuters and why that procedure is going to be different. But when you're at a general practice, you know, yeah, we've heard definitely of them charging $200, $300. New York City pricing is outrageous. They're paying over $500.
That's why people don't do it then. My vet, $75 for a neuter and $100 for a spay. I don't know about dogs, as that goes by weight, but they dedicate a whole day. That's all they do on, I think it's Wednesdays, the spay neuter.
That's terrific. And that's a great way to do it. And that's a great way for, you know, you don't have, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And so one of the things that we try to do is show veterinarians different kinds of models that they can, if they wanted to increase spay neuter or increase their ability to offer these appointments, what are different, you know, ways to dip your toe in the water without doing it all, right? You don't have to become, a high quality, high volume clinic, but you could maybe dedicate one day a week. Or, you know, you could share your private practice. You know, if you're closed on the weekends, you could see if there's a partnership to be had with a nonprofit that you could partner up to do a clinic on a one weekend, you know, one day, one Saturday a month or something.
We hope that's our future.
Right?
Absolutely. I want to tell you, I know we're getting close to where we need to take a break, but definitely
we're about 5 minutes back.
All right. Well, let's jump into a little bit about why. And I'll tell you something. Behavior session. Last month, I think, lady's got a really tough situation on her hands, took in this cat, not working out without the cat, got a lot of behavior issues. And she tried to rehome this cat. She can't buy, everybody's full. All of the rescues are full. All of the shelters are full. No one is adopting. Everyone is surrendering. And so she's got this cat back segregated. We're trying to work with her through it and get her to her place. But yeah, petrified, can't find anywhere to put this cat. And fortunately, we can work through this with behavioral techniques. But what if she was terminally ill or being ousted from her home for some reason? I mean, there are valid reasons why you have to surrender and we can't get the cat in.
I mean, we can't talk about spay neuter without talking about the fact that we have an intake problem. There aren't enough places for all the animals to go.
I know we're always turning down because we're full.
Right? Rescues are full, shelters are full, and you know, the people who work in them feel terribly that they can't help every single animal. But the reality is that we just don't have the resources. And the only way that is ever going to change is if more people choose to spay and neuter their pets. We need more widespread access to affordable spay and neuter services.
Absolutely.
I completely agree with that. I mean, the whole prevent these kittens from being born so we don't have such a glut of cats and kittens. Puppies, too.
And nowhere for them to go. But
cats seem to be a bigger problem because cats go out and wander around the neighborhood. People let their own cats wander around, not spayed, not neutered, having babies. And there's just no reason for that.
I mean, we talk about one of the things that we talk about at United Spay Alliance is imagine if there were no kitten season. You know, we talk every spring, well, unless you're in a warmer climate, but, you know, typically
there's not
every,
a kitten season here. It's all year.
I was going to say, I know that in the South, maybe you're thinking kitten what? But for the rest of us, that spring season tends to be like, oh, God, it just means so many kittens. And, you know, I understand kittens are adorable, but the reality is that we just collectively don't have enough resources to help all of them. Fosters are full, shelters are full, like we're just talking about. But we could see a future where there isn't kitten season if we had more spay and neuter. And that is for cats who live outside, and that is for owned cats. You know, it is for everybody to really see the numbers in a community, you know, change as far as the population of cats. We know that we have to have a very high percentage of owned cats spayed and neutered in addition to any TNR that's happening. And that's what's really going to make a dent in the population. And then if we free up those resources, just think of it, all the resources that go in just to like trying to tread water and keep your head above water. If we were to spay and neuter and see a future where, you know, we had more time to spend with the animals that truly need our help, more resources to give those cats and kittens who are coming to us and that we actually have the space, the mental bandwidth, and the actual tangible resources.
Yeah.
There might actually be homes available.
You know, imagine that, if we could put our resources toward that rather than just trying to get through day after day after day.
We need to take a break here to hear from our awesome sponsor, but we'll be right back to talk more about spay and neuter and why it matters to you. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting. One of the reasons that the reason the show is named 19 Cats is when we started it, I had 19 cats in my sanctuary. I now have 18. That's just because the number goes up, down, up, down. And Linda has 12 of our cats. And we wouldn't have this many if people would spay neuter.
Yeah, I don't want 12 cats. I love every cat in my house.
Oh, I do too.
But I never do not get rid of want any to have 12 cats.
But don't you sometimes think, Linda, you know, when you have this many, you have to like pay attention to them in groups. And not every cat gets special one-on-one attention.
That's awful.
They're happy, but these people that if they're going to let their cats outside, there's no excuse to let them outside intact. That's just laziness, in my opinion. Uh-oh, silence. Did I hit a nerve?
No, I think it's just, we've talked a bit about the challenges of accessing affordable care, and there's so many communities where that is just still not a reality. And so I think we still have work to do as far as making sure people can, I mean, because if you have, like, you mentioned that you were paid $100 for a neuter. So if we're thinking about someone who has 10 cats in, you know, their backyard, I mean, that adds up real fast, you know, if they're all neuters. Spays are usually more, you know, like, so that kind of gets out of control. And right now with our research, I actually tell our folks who help us update our directory, when we say low cost, you know, we kind of talk about the number being more around $150, because that threshold is just so, you know, it keeps going up and up and up what low cost means, depending on where you live. And so I think absolutely we want people to spay and neuter, but we also, you know, have to make sure we're doing as much as we can to make that affordable, make it accessible for them.
Oh, yeah. Somebody calls and says, I've got 10 cats in my backyard and they're having kittens, and I can't afford to spay and neuter them all. Looking for a rescue that will help. Our TNR initiative that will help. I think they're more willing to help if they're able to put the cats back out in their habitat and not have to take them in and find them homes.
Much easier on your
pulse. Oh, for sure. And yeah. And I think that's why, you know, trap TNR programs are a huge resource, you know, because I've also been in a situation of like, oh, now I have 6 cats in my house. And this isn't what I had envisioned for myself. But here we are.
Absolutely.
We're living
absolutely
that.
Yes. And I think it's important to know, too, as with anything, it doesn't have to be all or nothing, right? So I took in that cat I mentioned out of my backyard. And maybe a month later, I found her doppelganger out there, which I assume is probably her sister from the same litter. And I called Rita and I cried and I said, it's like pushing back the ocean. I got one, but I missed one. And then she said, that one cat over X number of years could be responsible for what?
It was like 2 million
over
an 8-year period.
Yes. So be grateful for what you did, right? Get the one. If that's all you can get the one.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about the training that goes on. How can veterinarians get involved in learning how to do efficient spays and neuters?
So one of our programs, we talked a little before about high quality, high volume spay neuter. And so that's the HQHVSN. So if you're out and you see that in the wild, that's what that refers to. But it's these techniques that are being used to do a high number of surgeries in a very safe, very efficient way. And so it's not necessarily the same thing that folks are learning in vet school, but most vets aren't really getting exposure to spay and neuter surgeries while they're still in vet school. You know, they might graduate with one or two surgeries under their belt, unless they have gone out of their way to pursue a shelter medicine or do some sort of work in that more spay neuter clinic setting. But our trainings are aiming to change that. We are making these trainings, our goal is to make these trainings as homegrown as possible. We want it to be easy for veterinarians to attend. We are working directly with organizations or clinics that are right there in the community. Basically, we're facilitating, but it's really the folks on the ground who are doing all the work to put the team together and put the training together so that veterinarians have the chance to learn from their peers what these spay and neuter techniques look like. And we do our best to create a very safe environment for them to learn. Because I've also heard from veterinarians who might want to get involved, but they aren't necessarily able to just go volunteer at a spay neuter clinic because they just aren't fast enough yet. They don't know how to do the same thing that these other high quality, high volume surgeons are doing. And so these trainings offer them an opportunity to learn.
That's amazing.
These techniques. We're having another clinic coming up on February 22nd, our first on the West Coast. So shout out to the Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon. So we're excited about that.
Nice. I'll tell you, we had two places, Rescue Friends of Felines and our Humane Society that used to do them. Our Humane Society lost their vet. And I can only imagine how burnt out somebody gets from doing these regularly.
I'm sure.
But my town started something a year or two ago that I was really impressed with. They, twice a year, you call them and say, I have ferals in my backyard. They drop traps off. You call them when the trap is sprung, they pick it up. Twice a year, a vet comes in and does a mass spay and neuter, and they return the cats back to where they came from. Is it going to completely solve the problem twice a year? No, but it is going to take a huge dent out of it. And you get one vet to say he'll do one a year and one to say he'll do the other, or one vet says he'll do two a year, and it's not such a huge burden, right? I was kind of really impressed with them for coming up with that.
No, that is huge. I think every little bit counts. And if we all chip in, then, you know, many hands make light work, right? Isn't that what they say?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes, it is. It feels insurmountable when you think about it overall. So you really have to take it and, you know, do the small bits that you can, because everybody's effort together is the only thing that's really going to solve the problem.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And there's lots of ways. And, you know, if, you know, we talk about kind of the low hanging fruit. And so what is everyone's individual entry point? And so if a veterinarian just want to knock out some neuters, and, you know, you want to pick like a couple Tuesdays out of the month, and that is like, you're going to have just neuter cats only. You're knocking out however many, you know, in a day, because that's a pretty simple, quick procedure, easy enough to do. You're contributing to the cause, but it's not, you know, the same as, again, not everyone has to be a brick and mortar spay neuter clinic to get the job done. So there's lots of ways to tackle it. And so we encourage folks to think creatively.
Yeah, you know, like a neuter is like snip, snip. A spay is actual surgery.
Surgery, yes. Yes, basically a hysterectomy, right? Yeah. So, okay, but so we know what we could do is that, so we know we can just communicate. What about just the individual? I'm 80. I'm not going to go outside and set traps.
What You're not 80.
What can I, well, I know. It's a metaphor. It's a whatever. Anyway, what can I do to help the situation, Bree?
So everyone can get involved by just talking with their friends, with their family, with their neighbors about the need to spay and neuter their pets. And so there's always a need to educate around that. I know some folks, you know, we have seen kind of a shift in the conversation. And so I think we all, you know, depending how old you are, you know, you listen to Bob Barker tell you to spay and neuter your pets. And it seemed, you know, when I was growing up, it just seemed kind of that's what you did. And it was kind of more normalized. And I think there has been a slight shift away from that. And so we definitely encourage people to get back into the habit of talking about spay and neuter and why it matters, you know, that these, you know, animals individually lead such, you know, healthier lives. Like we know that there's reduction, for instance, in cats, especially if we are doing early age spay and neuter. We know that cats who are spayed early have, I think it's a 91% reduction in the rate of mammary cancer. So we see wonderful health benefits. We know behaviorally, they're not going to be driving you up a wall, going into heat in your house.
And I want people to write to us for, you know, they want to help with integration and one of the cats is not spayed or neutered. We tell them, get that cat spayed or neutered and then come back to us because that might solve your problem.
There are rare reasons. I mean, Rita had a cat with ventral septal defect, a heart defect, and I could not go under surgery. So I always ask for what the reason is. But
my Sadie that I wrote
I have, yeah, Sadie. But I have heard from people like, we just don't want to make the baby get surgery. And it's like, really, it is. It's like, you know, getting your kid a shot or making him take an antibiotic. Or, you know, you're doing what's best for them.
We know and when I was growing up, though, they didn't do, it wasn't a routine thing. You know, in the 60s and 70s to spay neuter. We never got our dog neutered. Of course, our dog then fathered 12 puppies because the neighborhood dog who wasn't spayed came over to visit. But I think, you know, the people my age still have that, a lot of people, that mentality of not spaying and neutering because that's how it was when we were kids. Unless you work with it, you don't realize what a big issue it is.
I think it's one of those things that the general public might not encounter until you run into it, until your dog is pregnant with puppies that you were not counting on, until you're trying to find somewhere for that friendly cat that you found outside to go and you realize that all the shelters are full, you know, until it's facing you head on, it might not be something that you directly have to understand or interact with. But, you know, our founder, Esther Metzler, did so much to promote the movement, you know, spay, neuter and normalize it back,
Esther.
You know,
she's
in the 90s. She's fantastic. And so I say that I am standing on the shoulders of giants. There's so many people like Esther who were there that have gotten us to this point. And I'm just trying to, you know, keep carrying on and keep the mission alive. And so they had the immense task of taking us from a culture where there wasn't any conversation about spay and neuter to a point where it was pretty much a part of the mainstream conversation. Everyone was talking about it. The big organizations were funding it. And it was just part of what was going on. And just again, with the pandemic and just other things that have happened, it seems like we need to start having that very real conversation again about, let's start at the foundation. Let's talk about kind of the keystone of all access to care conversations, anything like that. It starts with spay neuter. It is the foundation of prevention, and so many other things will be easier to solve once we have widespread spay neuter.
I will tell you, as a behaviorist, when people say that their cats are spraying or urinating and defecating outside of the box, my first question is, have you noticed any community cats outside? Because people do not realize the impact those cats have on your home. So I know you've got a big initiative coming up in February, and it's the Feline Fix by Five. So I take it Fix by Five means by five months old?
5 months old. And so the fun fact that we always share is that kittens can get pregnant as young as 4 months old. And so the reality is that kittens are having kittens. And so the Feline Fix by Five campaign is one that we are really working to encourage veterinarians, especially private practice veterinarians, to talk about their clients or to talk with their clients about the best time to spay and neuter their kittens. Because there's they're not really graduating vet school with this like black and white knowledge of this is it. But there was a task force that got together of veterinarians and they reviewed the research and the recommendations are, and those recommendations have been endorsed by the AVMA, so the governing body of veterinarians here in the U.S., that 5 months is the best time to spay and neuter, or before they hit that 5 month mark.
What is too young to do a spay neuter? Like, where do you, what's the cutoff?
That is a very good question. And so in sheltering, we talk about 2 months, 2 pounds, or in the shelter, rescue animal world that we're in. You know, we talk about that 2 months, 2 pounds being kind of like the rule. Once they hit 2 pounds, they're old enough or safe enough to spay and neuter at that point. And that is great. And so if you're getting, or if you're adopting from a shelter and you're getting that 8-week-old kitten, you're going to hopefully be getting them already spayed or neutered at that point. But, you know, if you have an owned cat, a lot of times, especially if it's an owned cat that's going to live inside, they're not necessarily going back out to a TNR colony, then private practice vets might recommend, oh, you could wait till 6 months. Oh, they should have a heat cycle first or some other thing that is just at this point, it's just outdated. But because the reality is they can be safely, more than safely, spayed or neutered by 5 months.
My vet likes to wait for 4 months for females and as long as possible for the males. I mean, he'll do it earlier, but he won't do it any earlier than 4 months. 4 months, 4 pounds.
Well, I think it's important with shelters. Yeah, I think it's important with shelters and rescues because they need to get them sterilized so that they can be adopted out. So
well,
they
do those sooner. But he means like if you or me go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wait until a little later with the boys. So, but definitely before five.
Luckily, my vet works very closely with the Lancaster shelter here because, you know, you can't adopt out any kittens or puppies till they're spayed or neutered here. That's the law. So he's got to do those earlier.
Yeah, and if you think about, you know, the adoptability of a fluffy little 8-week-old
yes.
kitten versus, you know, a 4-month-old, you know, still adorable, but
everybody wants the itty bitty little kitten.
Yeah, infants over toddlers, right? The toddlers
except
are cute.
Except for but us, I'm done with infants and toddlers.
You and
give me
both.
The old ones. I like the older kitties.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But February is our time when we're really talking about the Feline Fixed by Five campaign. And I will say it is for veterinarians, but it's also for individuals. Again, it's important to just educate one another about the benefits of all this. So it's definitely, we're doing it in February, but it's a never-ending campaign.
Absolutely. I always say, if you hate cats, and you're sick of them in your yard, digging up your flowers, walking on your car, then you need to care about this. If you love cats and care about the overpopulation and the suffering and the things that are happening, you should care about this. So basically,
everyone
should care about
this. Needs to be on board. I know we've got to wrap soon. Give us your website address, Bree, and when is this initiative happening?
Yeah, so you can find out more about us at unitedspayalliance.org. And then actually, if you go to felinefixedby5.org, you can go directly to that landing page. We have all sorts of resources. We have a whole media kit, so there's like share graphics and videos and some like great talking points and stuff like that that's just really easy to pull and share and use as much as you like. Again, we want people talking about it. We want people sharing this information and to make it easy to do that. And so felinefixedby5.org has all that for you. February is our big awareness month. It's where we're really asking as many folks as possible to, you know, get the conversation out there, trying to turn up the volume on this message a little bit. But again, there's never a wrong time to talk about the best time to spay and neuter those kittens.
A little pre-kitten season advertising. Please,
exactly.
Spay and neuter.
Prevent
those kittens.
Pretty please, pretty please.
And if you are one of those humans that I talk to every day that has a cat, you know they need to be spayed or neutered. You really can't afford it right now. Your vet's saying blah, blah, blah. Then you need to go to unitedspayalliance.org. Find your state. I guarantee you you're going to find something, if not close, reasonable where you
I know there's one in
Charlotte
that's $25, but they only do it at certain times, so you really have to
You have to get on the list and go when they're going. They're not doing these every day, but yeah, get the information and get on the list.
Yeah seek us out. We are here to help you, you know, whatever we can do to help you get that spay or neuter appointment. That's what
we
are here to do.
It. It's an amazing
yes,
resource.
Take advantage of them. Their
someone
knowledge.
Someone who just took advantage three, with the three boys.
Hopefully we're done with kittens, but you just never know when they're going to cross our path. We're really cater more to the older cats.
If their lives had been in danger, they wouldn't be in my house. I didn't want kittens.
Right.
I'm done with kittens, but
they were definitely in danger.
It happened.
So they're part of our sanctuary now. Any last words for us, Bree?
Just again, never a wrong time to talk about spay and neuter. I think if we really talk about, to us, it's all about prevention and the idea that we can prevent overcrowding. We can prevent full shelters. We can prevent compassion fatigue from people who are making difficult decisions day in and day out. And the answer to all of that comes down to spay and neuter.
Well, awesome. I hope you'll come back again. We'll definitely add your websites to our reference list. Linda, thank you for holding down the fort when I couldn't do podcasts, and also for helping me out. You know what I mean.
You got it.
And of course, I have to thank Mark Winter for giving us this opportunity on Pet Life Radio. Thank you so much. And remember, every day is Catter Day. We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.